الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Today is the 23rd of Muharram 1434, which corresponds to the 7th of December 2012. I don't know why. Getting ready for work, it's always 2013. What are you going to say? 2013 took over already. Anyways, regardless of what the date is in Gregorian, we are discussing still Surah Al-Ma'idah, particularly ayah number 13. Since I believe, alhamdulillah, last week we covered ayah 12. And so ayah 13 reads, A'udhu billahi as-sami'il 'alimi min ash-shaytanir rajim. فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَن مَّوَاضِعِهِ وَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِّمَّا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ وَلَا تَزَالُ تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى خَائِنَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاصْفَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So for the breaking of the covenant, we cursed them and made their hearts hard. They distort words from their proper usages and have forgotten a portion of which they were reminded. And you will still observe deceit among them, except a few of them. But pardon them and overlook their misdeeds. Indeed, Allah loves the doers of good. The Shaykh rahimahullah says in commenting on this particular ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah, فَكَأَنَّهُ قِيلَ لَيْتَ شِعْرِ مَاذَا فَعَلُوا وَهَلْ وَفُوا أَوْ وَفُوا بِمَا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْ نَكَثُوا فَبَيَّنَ أَنَّهُمْ نَقَدُوا ذَلِكَ فَقَالَ فَبِمَا نَقْدِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ أَيْ بِسَبَبِهِ عَاقَبْنَاهُمْ بِعِدَّةِ عُقُوبَاتٍ. The context of the ayat will make the reader almost say, what did they do? Because Allah was discussing the covenant with Bani Israel and they had 12 leaders from among them and so on and so forth. Allah gave us the discussion, the background of what happened with them. So as if the reader is anticipating, when Bani Israel were chosen and they were given this covenant by Allah, did they fulfill the covenant or not? So the Shaykh saying, it's as if someone's saying, so what did they do? Did they fulfill the promise with Allah or did they break it? So Allah explained that they broke it. They did not fulfill the covenant. And due to that, we punished them with a number of punishments. Al-Ula, the first of which, Anna la'annahum. Before I explain, or before the Shaykh explains, La'na, what does La'na mean? And what does that mean? To be deprived of Allah's mercy. At-tardu min rahmatillah aw an rahmatillah. To be kicked out, in other words, and deprived and of Allah's mercy. That's what la'na means. That's why it's a very dangerous thing. Because you have to understand this in the light of the other hadith, wherein the Prophet ﷺ said, he said to the Sahaba, none of you shall enter Jannah based on his deeds alone. They said, not even you, O Messenger of Allah. He said, not even myself, unless Allah encompasses me with his mercy. So he made the acceptance of the Prophet's deeds and his admittance to paradise conditional to the mercy of Allah. So la'na is no mercy of Allah, meaning trouble. The deeds will be of no benefit unless Allah wills otherwise. So it's a very serious issue. Wallah musta'an. Na'am. So the Shaykh said the first, anna la'annahum, we cursed them. Ay taradnahum wa ba'adnahum min rahmatina. We kicked them away and we distanced them from our mercy. حَيْثُ أَغْلَقُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَبْوَابَ الرَّحْمَةِ. So they closed and they concealed upon themselves the doors of mercy. وَلَمْ يَقُومُوا بِالْعَهَدِ الَّذِي أُخِذَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Nor did they fulfill the covenant which was placed upon them. الَّذِي هُوَ سَبَبَهَا الْأَعْظَمُ. Which is the main purpose and reason behind it. الثانية قوله وجعلنا قلوبهم قاسية. The second thing is, and we made their hearts hard. أي غليظة لا تجدي فيها المواعظ ولا تنفعها الآيات والنذر. الله المستعان. غليظة, when something is like thick, it's not penetratable. He said it's thick, so no admonishment can benefit, no admonishment is effective, nor can any ayah, sign from Allah or reminder from Allah, or nudhur. What is nudhur? In which surah does that word occur? Many times. That word nudhur. If you guys don't know, I'm going to start teaching something else, man. Surah Al-Nuh? Ya Shaykh, it comes in the ayah, in the surah, more than once. Huh? If I tell you, you're going to know. It's close to Surah Al-Rahman. فكيف كان عذابي ونذر ولقد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر كذبت ثمود. سورة القمر. It has it often. Every few ayat after Allah mentions a particular prophet with his people, he says فكيف كان عذابي ونذر. صح؟ إن شاء الله صح. نذر, warning. Warning, threat. Mawa'id, admonishment. And nudhur is from nadhir. Mubashiran wa nadhira. Anzir qawmak, and anzir qawmak, to warn, to threaten. Khayran, inshaAllah. Khayran, Allah musta'an. Fala yurghibuhum tashweequn, wala yuz'ijuhum takhweefun. Allah musta'an. What does that mean? The Sheikh said when the heart is hard and no admonishment is effective, nor do the ayat or the warnings remind. He said, so nothing that excites them, nothing that is exciting encourages them, nor anything which is scary bothers them. يعني, you give someone some, what do you call this? Incentive, right? It's like you go into some very rich guy and you tell him, look, if you do this, I'm going to give you 5 riyals. And he's like, what? Yani, nothing. Huh? Versus you're a little kid, tell him, you do this, I'll give you 1 riyal. He'll party and celebrate and do a big deal, because to him 1 riyal is better than nothing, because he doesn't have anything unless you give him. So they are in such a condition where no matter what you tell them, Jannah, Allah tells them about Jannah, the reward, not interested. It doesn't excite them. Nor do the scary things bother them. Jahannam, the hellfire, punishment. A'udhu billah, the heart is completely dead. وَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْعُقُوبَاتِ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ. Sheikh said, this is among the greatest punishments upon the slave. أَنْ يَكُونَ قَلْبُهُ بِهَذِهِ الصِّفَةِ الَّتِي لَا يُفِيدُهُ الْهَدِي وَالْخَيْرُ إِلَّا شَرَّى. أعوذ بالله. That his heart is in this condition wherein guidance and goodness does not benefit it except in more evil, because not benefiting from this guidance and good is evil. So that is as Ibn Qayyim, by the way, Wallahu alam, he got it from Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyah in his book Al-Fawa'id. He said that among the greatest calamity that can afflict a slave is being distant from Allah, is having a hard heart and being distant from Allah. That's it. Don't look at any other punishment that you think is grave. That is the gravest punishment a slave can have. الثالثة أنهم يحرفون الكلمة عن بعض مواضعه أي ابتلوا بالتغيير والتبديل فيجعلون للكلمة الذي أراده الله معنى غير ما أراده الله ولا رسوله. يحرفون, they distort the words from their original or from their original intent and purpose. The Sheikh said, meaning they were tested with the concept of تغيير and تبديل. تغيير is to change and تبديل is to replace. They replace a ruling with another ruling or an ayah with another ayah. So they make for the words which Allah intended a meaning other than the one Allah and His Messenger intended. Alaykum salam. Now who amongst the Muslims shares this particular attitude? Shia, Asha'ira, Mu'tazila, Khawarij, Qadariya, Jabariya, Jahmiya, all of them share this particular quality. That they will come to an ayah or a hadith and they will tell you, no, that is not what is intended. What is intended is such and such. That bring me the dalil, wallah, it doesn't make sense to me otherwise. So if it doesn't make sense, it means this cannot be the correct thing. The correct thing must be that. So they come to a hadith which is in Bukhari about Allah Azza wa Jal descending to the lowest heaven every night at the last third of that night. And the hadith is the most explicit in wording. يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Allah descends, Allah goes down to the lowest heaven every night throughout the year. So they will come and say, no, the mercy of Allah will descend. Don't you think the Messenger of Allah could have said the mercy of Allah will descend if he intended that? Could he or could he not? He could. Why did he say Allah, not His mercy? Number one. Number two, we are genius. If the mercy of Allah descends at the last third of the night, then how are we surviving the rest of the day? May the mercy of Allah is available around the clock. If it weren't available, we will be destroyed. So to restrict the mercy of Allah to the last third of the night, you have no proof and evidence for it either. And you can go with them, tit for tat, to prove that there's absolutely no grounds for them to reject the hadith, except that in their mind, they think of Allah as a human being. They presume that Allah is a human being. Therefore, when they hear the word descend, they think of a human being descending. They say, oh no, this doesn't make sense. So they reject it. The problem began when you thought Allah was a human being. Allah is not like His creation. Therefore, don't imagine. And it's none of your business to imagine, nor is it permissible for you to imagine, because you are dealing with issues of the unseen that you have no knowledge of. So know your limits and just accept it as it is. If the Messenger of Allah wanted something else, he would have said something else. He was eloquent, the most eloquent among the people. Utiya jawami'ul kalim. He was given the concise and precise wording. Small words in number, small in number, great in meaning. So this is a very common phenomenon among those. The Jews, the quality of the Jews, to distort their revelation in a manner which suits them and pleases them as per their logic, even though their logic is illogical. Be careful who you take this knowledge from, specifically Aqeedah. Now, they may send you straight into the hellfire with some nonsense they've invented that is not from Allah's and His Messenger's teachings. Naam. So, Al-Rabi'ah, so far we've dealt with three punishments. Huh? The first one is Al-La'na, Allah cursed them. The second one is Qulubuhum Qasiyah. The third one is they distort the meanings and the words. Bismillah. It's my gasoline. Al-Rabi'ah, أنهم نسوا حظا مما ذكروا به. They forgot a portion of that which they were reminded of. فإنهم ذكروا بالتوراة وبما أنزل الله على موسى فنسوا حظا منه. They were reminded with the Torah and what Allah sent down upon Moses, but then they forgot a portion of that. وهذا شامل لنسيان علمه وأنهم نسوه وضاع عنهم ثم ولم يوجد كثير مما أنساهم الله إياه عقوبة منه لهم. That means that that includes the forgetfulness of the knowledge in the Torah, forgetting the teachings and the rulings of the Torah. Excuse me, and that they forgot it, and that they lost it, and many of them who, from those whom Allah Azza wa Jal had, they had forgotten some. Allah gave that as a punishment to them. وَشَامِلُ لِنِسْيَانِ الْعَمَلِ الَّذِي هُوَ تَرْكَ, and that includes abandonment or forgetting the application. So they forgot the teachings, and then even if they had the teachings, they did not apply the teachings. They forgot the application. They wasted the application. فَلَمْ يُوَفَّقُوا لِلْقِيَامِ بِمَا أُمِرُوا بِهِ, so they were not granted the success to do what they were commanded to do. وَيُسْتَدَلُّ بِهَذَا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ بِإِنْكَارِهِمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي قَدْ ذُكِرَ فِي كِتَابِهِمْ أَوْ وَقَعَ فِي زَمَانِهِمْ أَنَّهُ مِمَّا نَسُوهُ. And this could be used as an evidence against the people of the scriptures, that they actually deny some of the things which were mentioned in their book, or that happened in their time, and this is among the things which Allah Azza wa Jal made them forget. So if a Jew or a Christian comes and says, well, how come this is not mentioned in my Bible? And how come this and that? Or how come it says this in the Bible? Say, this is from the punishment of Allah upon your nation, that He made you forget some of the things which were initially taught to you. And so verses of Tawheed may have been removed from the Bible, and verses of Trinity may have been inserted into the Bible as a result of their disbelief and rejection. وهذه الخصال الذميمة حاصلة لكل من اتصف بصفاتهم. Now pay attention, اخوان. Wallahi, all jokes aside, this is a serious self-evaluation passage now. Huh? We have to see where we stand. The Sheikh said this, these lowly qualities. Oh, أحسنت بارك الله فيك. الخامسة الخيانة المستمرة التي لا تزال تطلع على خائنة منهم. The continuous treachery. أي خيانة لله ولعباده المؤمنين. They will betray Allah and His believing slaves. ومن أعظم الخيانة منهم كتمهم عن من يعظهم ويحسن فيهم الظن الحق. And among the greatest form of betrayal or treachery is that they conceal the truth from those who admonish them, and then those who treat them well, thinking that they have the truth. Who assume the best about them in regards to the truth. وَإِبْقَاهُمْ عَلَى كُفْرِهِمْ, and they keep these people upon their disbelief, or them remaining upon disbelief. فَهَذِي خِيَانَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ, this is a great act of treachery. Now the Shaykh said, here pay attention now. Now pay attention the whole time, but particularly now. وهذه الخصال الذميمة حاصلة لكل من اتصف بصفاتهم. These lowly, these blameworthy, these disgusting traits will be granted to anyone who shares their traits. So it is not only for the Jews or the people of the book. Anyone, Muslim, non-Muslim, anyone who behaves in the same manner will be given the same punishment. The Shaykh said, فكل من لم يقم بما أمر الله به وأخذ به عليه الالتزام. Anyone who does not fulfill what Allah Azza wa Jal had commanded him to, and Allah Azza wa Jal took it upon him to do, كان له نصيب من اللعنة وقسوة القلب والابتلاء بتحريف الكلم. He will have his share of the curse, and his share of the hardness of the heart, and his share of the being tested by distorting the meaning and the words. وَأَنَّهُ لَا يُوَفَّقُ لِلصَّوَابِ, and that he will not be granted success towards correctness. وَنِسْيَانُ حَظٍ مِمَّا ذُكِرَ بِهِ, and his forgetfulness of a portion of that which he was reminded of. وَأَنَّهُ لَا بُدَّ أَن يُبْتَلَ بِالْخِيَانَةِ, and that it is inevitable that he will be tested with treachery. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ, we ask Allah's protection and safety. That's a serious issue right there. That's a serious issue. وَسَمَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِمَّا ذُكِّرُ بِهِ حَظًّا, لأنه هو أعظم الحظوظ. Now Allah Azza wa Jal has named what they were reminded of as حظ, because this is among the greatest of حظ. حظ is like, they translate it as luck, and it is not luck. Huh? It is not luck. In fact, our Shaykh Abu Mujahid used to deem it impermissible to use the term lucky, as it is known and understood in the Western non-Islamic context. Oh, you're lucky, you came on time, you're lucky you were there. This is actually a form of shirk in this sense, because you are attributing the happening of the events or the protection of this person or whatever to luck. And when a kafir says you were lucky, he doesn't mean that Allah granted you success or otherwise. He means you were lucky. Luck had something to do with it. Lucky 7, unlucky 13, and the whole superstitious nonsense goes on. You know what I'm saying? So it may be an issue where the scholars have differed, but our Shaykh used to not see permissible to use the term lucky, period. There's no such thing. Well, I mean, according to my Shaykh, yes. And I'm convinced that the term is problematic. Because, look, because of the idea is that the people's mind state, whether Muslims or non-Muslims, that they associate luck with luck. They don't relay it to Qadr. Unless you're sitting with some tulab ilm, students of knowledge, who you will assume that they will automatically understand, then still we will say, do you really want to use this term? But with the average Tom, or John, or Joe, alaykum salam, with the average person, you have a problem. Because they, when they think of luck, they don't think of Qadr. And we know that everything is by the Qadr. إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدَرًا مَقْدُورًا إِلَى أَخْرِهِ مِنْ الْآيَاتِ. So the term has its own set of problems, honestly. And therefore it is best to advise. But I've read in the translations of the Qur'an, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. They translated حَظ as luck. But it's really a fortune. It's a fortune. And even fortune is a problematic term, because it comes from the god, the goddess of luck, Fortuna. From the Greek gods. So, but
the problem is the language. No?
Yeah, well, wait. Yes, it is the language, ultimately. But 99% of the people don't know this Fortuna stuff. So then we don't have an issue. We don't have an issue, because the minds of the people do not associate fortune with some goddess from the Greek gods. Hello? But luck, yes. They associate it with luck. يعني no qadr involved. على كل حال, do what you like. The bottom line is, the term to be translated to luck is inappropriate. Hadh, I would say, is a portion here. A gift, a portion, or a fortune. One of them, wallahu a'lam. لأنه هو أعظم الحظوظ وما عدا فإنها هي حظوظ دنيوية. Because it's the greatest kind of grant, and anything other than that is really nothing but a worldly portion that a human being is given. كما قال تعالى فخرج على قومه في زينته قال الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون إنه لذو حظ عظيم. وقال في الحظ النافع وما يلقاه إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاه إلا ذو حظ عظيم. So as Allah Azza wa Jal said in the story of Qarun, so he went out to his people with his full adornment, and so those who desired the worldly life said, we wish we had been given like that which Qarun had been given. Verily he is a person of a great fortune or grant. He has a big fulus. And Allah said in the positive context of the word, the ayah I quoted earlier, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. None will be granted that except those who are patient, and none will be granted that except those who have been given this great fortune of being those who يعني يدرؤون بالحسنات السيئة. Actually, the ayah is different. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيَّةُ ادْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. That ayah came after that one. It's in the context of the da'wah and the virtue of da'wah. مَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَقَوْلُهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْهُمْ أَيْ فَإِنَّهُمْ وَفُّوا بِمَا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. except a minority among them. What was different about this minority? If the majority betrayed, what did the minority do? If the majority, you have a group of people, 90% betrayed and they were treacherous in regards to the covenants of Allah. So the 10%, what does that leave them with? Huh? Abdul Hadi, you don't want any goodness to exist, yes, Shaykh? 90% broken and 10 also corrupt. Where are the good people? La 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 Hajj. La illa qalila minhum, except the minority of them, they were true to the command of Allah. How? Now, look, those who believed in Musa at the time of Musa and those who believed in Isa at the time of Isa, they are that minority who stuck to the covenant of Allah. And nowadays, since the advent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any Jew or Christian who converts to Islam is from this minority. It's from this minority who kept the promise of Allah, who abandoned their false religion and accepted the true religion. So it is not everybody. Huh? Even back then, it wasn't everybody. Otherwise, the Hawariyun, where did they come from? The disciples of Jesus. Wa alaykum salam. فَوَفَّقَهُمْ وَهَدَاهُمْ لِلصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So Allah, He granted them success and He guided them to the straight path. There's a 50 riyal fee for this kind of disturbance. What, would you like to pay in cash or you just write me a check next time, inshallah? Huh? So Allah gave him success and He guided them to the straight path. فَعَفُ عَنْهُمْ وَصْفَحْ. Now, if you don't know Arabic and you try to roughly translate these words to English, you will come up with the same word. You will come up with the same word. But the truth of the matter is there's a variation in the understanding in the language in Arabic which will have to be applied when we translate to English. So how did they translate it in the who has a translation? No one has a translation? Huh? Right. Here it says, pardon them and overlook their mistakes. فَعَفُ عَنْهُمْ وَصْفَحْ. Pardon and overlook their mistakes. Okay, in English, what's the difference between to pardon someone and to overlook someone's mistakes?
Pardoning is when someone does something and you say, okay, I'm sorry, I forgive you. And overlooking is pretending you did not see it.
Okay, maybe. Could there be another or additional explanation to that? Could it be that when you pardon someone, you may pardon with possibly a grudge, something in your heart against them, whereas overlooking a mistake is acting like it never happened, as if nothing ever took place? That could be another way of looking at it, even though what you said is pretty sound. The Shaykh said, أي لا تؤاخذهم بما يصدر منهم من الأذى الذي يقتضي أن يعفى عنهم. Huh. Do not hold them accountable for that which comes out of them, that which they produce of harm, and that necessitates that you pardon them. Don't hold them accountable means pardon them. وَصْفَحْ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْإِحْسَانِ. And then overlook completely their mistake because this is from the state of excellence in treatment. Ihsan, the highest point. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves the doers of good or those who excel. وَالْإِحْسَانُ هُوَ أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. And ihsan is to worship Allah as if you can see Him, but if you can't reach that level, then know that He sees you. وَفِي حَقِّ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ بَذْلِ النَّفْعِ الدِّينِي وَالدُّنْيَوِيِّ لَهُمْ. And in regards to ihsan to the creation, it is to exert yourself in benefiting them in regards to their religion and their worldly affairs. To strive to be good and help the people and benefit them, whether it is in regards to their religion or worldly matters. طيب, ayah number 14. We're going to go to the core of Christianity, huh? In a little bit, inshallah. Ayah 14 reads, ومن الذين قالوا إنا نصارى أخذنا ميثاقهم فنسوا حظا مما ذكروا به فأغرينا بينهم العداوة والبغضاء والبغضاء إلى يوم القيامة وسوف ينبئهم الله بما كانوا يصنعون. Ayah number 14 reads, and from those who say we are Christians, we took their covenant, but they forgot a portion of what of that of which they were reminded. So even here they use the term portion for hadd, which is a very accurate translation. So we caused among them animosity and hatred until the day of resurrection, something we witness today. And Allah is going to inform them about what they used to do. The Shaykh said, أي وكما أخذنا على اليهود العهد والميثاق فكذلك أخذنا على الذين قالوا إنا نصارى لعيسى بن مريم أو لعيسى بن مريم. The same way we took the covenant upon the Jews, we also took it upon those who say we are Christians or we are Nasara. Now here we have an issue, another issue in translation, because the Christian, if it were to be translated to Arabic, will be what? Who knows? La. La abad. Aywa. Masih. Masihi. And the scholars say it is impermissible. Pay attention. It is impermissible to call a Christian Masihi. In the Arabic language, لا يجوز أن تقول للنصراني أنه مسيحي. It's very common amongst people, even people of da'wah. غلط. He is نصراني. Why? مسيحي means someone who is referred to المسيح بعيسى بن مريم. طيب المسيح هو وزير. Muslim. Is he innocent of those Christians of today who believe in Trinity and believe in his divinity? Yes or no?
Yes.
So when you attribute them to him, you have done so falsely. You've given them a privilege which they are not entitled to. Therefore, it is haram to call him Masihiyin. Look, the term Masihi is a praise. It's a praise. That's why you say, I'm a Sunni.
Muhammadi.
Muhammadi, no such thing. No such thing. But I'm a Sunni, what does that mean? When you call yourself Sunni, what does that mean? Are you not automatically saying that you are associated with the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Yes. Can we get a Shi'i and call him Sunni?
Yes.
Yes?
No.
That would be disastrous, isn't it? This guy is against the Sunnah tooth and nail. To give him the title is a betrayal to who? To the Sunnah. It's a betrayal to the Sunnah by bringing this kind of people and giving them that fancy title of Sunnah. Because the Sunnah is the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah and they are the enemies of the Messenger of Allah. So, Al-Isa Masih ibn Maryam is Jesus. So when you call them Masihiyin, you say they're Christians, which is the actual translation. Because Masih is Christ. From Christos. Huh? So Masih is actually Christians, which is what we call them in English. But I will explain why we have to use this in English. Time out, time out. Don't get ahead of yourself. But for now, leave the English aside. In Arabic, when you say Masih, meaning he is a follower of Al-Masih. And Al-Masih, as Allah told us in the Quran and even in the Bible, that he will say to these people, get away from me, I don't know you. This is in the Bible. Jesus will say to their followers, will come and say, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not give life in your name? Did we not? He will say, get away from me. I don't know you. This is Jesus on Yawm al-Qiyamah in the Bible. In the Quran, same thing. In the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, in that surah that he did not say to the people except what Allah told him. And he is innocent and free from all the shirk that the people associate in his name. Even you do not call him Masihi, because by calling him Masihi, you are actually attributing him to Jesus, and Jesus is innocent of him.
So you call him Nasrani.
Why? First and foremost, even if we don't understand the rationale behind it, you go back to the Quran and the Sunnah. Did Allah or His Messenger ever call them Masihiyin?
No.
What are they always called?
Nasara.
End of story. End of story.
What's the meaning of Nasara?
Here now, Nasara, we can, now it has multiple explanations. Some say it's a village. I believe it's called Nusayra. It's a village which they came from. Some say from Nusra, which is the one that the Shaykh referred, that they aided Jesus. The disciples, وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ مَنْ أَنْصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ نَحْنُ أَنْصَارُ اللَّهِ. So, according to many of the ulama, it comes from that. It comes from that. Now, when you say Nasara, huh? Even though today, these Christians, they didn't really aid Jesus, still, his name is not there. You haven't given them the privilege of having his own name in their name. Masih, Masihiyin, or Masihiyun. So it's only Nasara. You have to call them something at the end of the day, which is what Allah called them. Hello? Now, this is in the Arabic done. In the English language, it's a whole other discussion. Because in the English language, the translation of Masih is Christ, and therefore Masihiyin or Masihiyun is Christians. So we, if we were to follow the same line of thinking, we're not allowed to call Christians Christians. But then again, is that possible in Dawah today? No. It is not. So this is where we have to refer to this term only in order to deliver the message to the people, not as means of acknowledgement. The same reason or the same way we use the term God when we give a lecture to Christians. We say God created the heavens and earth, but we don't call Allah God, because God is not Allah. God could become plural gods, could become feminine goddess, and the term, if you rearrange the letters, it becomes dog, for example, and all kinds of funny stuff that the people have, I don't know how they thought of it, but I've heard this from someone. It's like, okay, it's not supposed to mean. But anyways, so the term in and of itself is problematic versus Allah. Huh? But do we use it? If I give a da'wah to a bunch of Christians, and Allah said this and Allah said that, in their mind, this Allah is your God, you Muslims, so we have our God, so what are you talking about? So we say, no, we use it in the beginning in order to familiarize them with the term and so on and so forth. It's the same concept with the term Christian. It is being used so the people will know who we're speaking about. Not that we are actually approving that they are Christians. Had they been Christians, they would have become Muslims. Because Christ was a Muslim and he called to Islam. Do you understand the whole thing? Hello. Then the Shaykh said, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى لِعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. So he is of the opinion that they were called Nasara because they said to Jesus, we are Nasara. Like in Surah Saf. Hello. وَزَكُّوا أَنفُسَهُمْ بِالْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. And they praise themselves in regards to their belief in Allah and His messengers. وَمَا جَاءُوا بِهِ فَنَقَضُوا الْعَهْدِ. And what they have brought, so they broke the covenant. وَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِرُوا بِهِ نِسْيَانًا عِلْمِيًّا وَنِسْيَانًا عَمَلِيًّا. And they forgot a portion of that which they were reminded of. Knowledge-wise and practicality-wise. يعني they forgot the knowledge and the practical application of the knowledge. فَأَغْرَيْنَا بَيْنَهُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Subhanallah. And this is something that we witness today. So we placed between them animosity and hatred until the day of resurrection. And how do you find the Christian denominations today? They hate each other's guts. Catholic Christians hate non-Catholic Christians. Now, mind you, they are diplomatic. Huh? They know how to act, they know how to put on a show, they know how to be political. So you will find some slick ones among them with a slick tongue who will say, no, Christians, we're one family, blah, blah, blah. But in the truth of the matter, or it could be that these Christians don't really follow their church properly. Or even the head of the church himself is lenient, is easygoing. Otherwise, the Pope, this scary looking devilish one, the most recent one, I forgot what it's called. What is that Pope called now? Benedict, huh? Yeah. He said publicly that the only church in Christianity is the Catholic Church. You know what that means? That's takfir. That's wholesale takfir of all Christians, of all denominations except Catholics. The only church in Christianity is the Catholic Church. Meaning Protestant church, you're not really a church. You're not Christians. And the same thing, Protestants hate the Catholics. They hate them and their, you know, statues and idols and blah, blah, blah. So there's hatred and animosity between them until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Just as we see today. Just as we see today. This is from the punishment of Allah to them, by the way. Because of them forgetting a portion of that which they were reminded of. أَيْسَلَّطْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. So we place them like against each other. وَصَارَ بَيْنَهُمْ مِنَ الشُّرُورِ وَالْإِحَنِ. What does it say in your book, Ya Abdul Majid? Shouldn't this be mihan? Ihan? Ajib. Yeah, ما يقتضي بغضي بعضهم بعضا ومعاداتي بعضهم بعضا يوم القيامة. And we place anyways among them, I don't know what that other word is, but shurur is evil. That which necessitates them hating each other and showing enmity to one another until the day of resurrection. The Shaykh said, وَهَذَا أَمْرُ الْمُشَاهَدِ. SubhanAllah. Even though the Shaykh was not giving da'wah in English, nor did he go to the States, nor does he know about these facts, he said, and this is something that is witnessed. And he said this, rahimahullah, back when he wrote this tafsir. فَأَنَّ النَّصَارَ لَمْ يَزَالُوا وَلَا يَزَلُونَ فِي بُغْضٍ وَعَدَاوَةٍ وَشِقَاقٍ. The Christians have ever been and continue to be in the state of hatred, enmity and separation. Even in the Eastern churches, same thing. The Armenian, you know when they celebrate Christmas? The Eastern church. January 6th. Christmas for them is January 6th. Not December 25th. Yani that's how bad the differing is. On the birthday of Jesus, they don't even agree. And it gets worse and worse. If you go into the details, it's even much, much worse. So then what was I saying? I don't know. وَسَوْفَ يُنَبِّئُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ فَيُعَاقِبَهُمْ عَلَيْهِ. SubhanAllah. So, and Allah shall surely narrate unto them and inform them of that which they used to do. The Shaykh said, meaning He will punish them for it. It is not merely telling them what they used to do. He will tell them what they used to do on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and they will be punished for having done what they had done. So we'll stop now, inshallah ta'ala. And we will continue with that if you remain alive and healthy next week. Ayah 15 onwards, and we'll be dealing more with Christianity. So, ayah number 15. We stopped at 14. We'll be dealing with 15 and 16. Abdul Hadi, yani make sure you bring, even if you want to integrate some of the classes for the new Filipinos, the new Muslims from the Filipino community who just came from Christianity, this is a very critical lesson for them. So if you want to invite particular people involved in da'wah to Christians, the upcoming ayat are relevant for them to know how to give da'wah, inshallah. If there's a new Muslim that you see shaky and could need some solid facts to be firm, or other brothers who give da'wah who may refer or use this information in their future da'wah expeditions. Na'am. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
Can I ask clarification?
Yes, you can.
Not related to